You're now diving into the fish tank.
Sitting down with Seth Living, Seth. OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, yeah. Golf fans, number one. Of course, y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank.
Welcome back to the Fish Tank right here on the Miami Dolphins Podcast Network. Seth Levitt with my main man, OJ McDuffie. Juice, we're back in the stadium again.
Yeah, no doubt, Big Seth. Man, I'm excited, man. It's that time of year, man, and we get a chance to talk to some of these guys, man, that we rarely get a chance to get at, man.
I know. This is awesome right here. Active players, you know, I don't know. You must have put in a call. I don't know who put in a call. They wouldn't let us touch an active player for the first couple of years. But we're excited to have one now. Now, I say we're back in the stadium. I got to bring this up, and I don't want to bore our guest here. But you should be able to get in the stadium. You should have no problems. I'm not surprised they don't let me in. But we pull up Raekwon. So, you know what? Raekwon Davis, welcome to the Fish Tank.
Raekwon.
Appreciate you being here, man. I know it's been a rough day for you as well.
Thank y'all for having me, man. Thank y'all for having me.
Oh, it's great. It's fantastic. We figured out your flight pattern. We got you in. And so we damn near had to sneak into the stadium today. Yeah. I thought playing the OJ McDuffie card, two-time, you know, this guy's a legend. He's two-time team MVP, led the league in receptions. We pull up. They ask me my name. I said, it's the Fish Tank. Seth Levitt from the Fish Tank. He said, you're not on the smart list. What the fuck is the smart list? I never heard of it. Yeah. I've been hearing that my whole life, and I'm still not on the damn smart list.
I'm not either. So, man. I'm on the ground, but not in the air, I guess. You know
what I mean? Absolutely. So, absolutely.
All good.
Well, Raekwon must be on the smart list because I know they're going to let his ass in the stadium. But let's get this thing started. We're not going to get into all the X's and O's for this year just yet. I want to kind of go backwards a little bit. But the thing that I really am excited about today is I have a belief that the D linemen, particularly the inside guys, the outside guys are pretty guys who like to talk to the media and we hear more about them. But the inside interior D linemen guys, I think, are some of the best kept secrets that are on a roster. And it reminds me of a guy, and I'm curious if you know Tim Bowens. So Juice played with a guy by the name of Tim Bowens. Timbo was a man amongst boys out there. Timbo did not have a whole lot to say. You know, if you knew from the outside, but inside, he was one of the best guys we had in that locker room with his personality, always cracking jokes on everybody. Not a man to be messed with. You didn't crack jokes back. Those jokes only went one direction. But he was also from the SIP, and you're from Mississippi. So he's from Okolona. How do you know Timbo and his town?
I don't know his personality, but I do know how, like, his style of play, though. He was one of them guys, quiet guy, but he let the action show. The action speaks for real.
When you say that about Timbo, do you feel that maybe is a little bit of who you are as well?
I don't know, man. I got my own little personality about me, but I mean, put me up against other guys, other people. I mean, my size stand out, but you know what I'm saying? I think I got a little more crank than Tim.
Oh, really? Okay.
Great guy.
Okay. Well, that's probably why Renzo, you know, dialed you up here for the Fish Tank. That's what it is. But talk to me about, so you're for, is it Meridian? You're from Meridian, Mississippi? Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
Are you familiar with his town? Because they said there's like 2,000 people in Timbo's hometown.
Yeah, I've never been there before.
Okolona? Okay. I guess it's a couple hours from, so I just wasn't sure if you could give us some perspective.
Yeah, I've never been there, but I hadn't heard of it.
I'm just curious, is that where all the big guys come from?
It must be, man. I don't know, the big interior,
like, you know, athletic and strong and country strong and just big dudes come out of there.
That country strong, man.
That country strong.
Where does that come from?
Man, you don't know. You've been to country, man?
Not me? In the country?
They allow you in there, man.
Nah, you need to be on the smart list.
You ever been to Mississippi before?
I've never been to Mississippi. No, wait. Have I ever been to Mississippi? No. I don't think I've ever.
You don't want to go, man.
Why not? Why not?
There's nothing there?
Yeah. All right. Gotta be something, man. Well, my family's from Port Gibson. That's where our roots and lineage is from in Mississippi. Port Gibson, man. My grandfather and a couple of my uncles are from there, man. But tell us a little bit more about your hometown, man. You know, tell us about growing up in Mississippi. How'd you get into football there? And, you know, and you talked about the big guys and being country strong, man. Tell us a little bit about growing up in Meridian.
I think, so when I first started playing ball, this is my uncle. He got tired of me, you know, running the streets. And he wanted me to be in the street life. So I got, like the third or second grade. He put me into football. And that's when I just got... I mean, even then, I wasn't really into football. I wasn't no good. So I started when I was in third grade. So at third grade, I played a little bit. And after my third grade, you know, I ain't play no more because I felt like I wasn't good. And then I got to the eighth grade or ninth grade, that's when I started playing ball again. And I got good in it.
I mean, and then how about your size? How much did you grow from third grade to eighth grade to make you think, you know what, I should be probably playing some damn football?
It was a huge jump. It was a huge jump. I just shot up out of nowhere.
You know, we'd also heard a little bit about a couple influential people you had in your life growing up, man, a D-line coach and your principal, man. Tell us about those guys and how they affected, you know, your growth and your, you know, just you as growing up as a young man.
I started off my coach, so Demetrius Hill. So I met Demetrius Hill when I was like in the eighth grade. I mean, he always knew I had potential to be somebody, you know what I'm saying, to be different. I'm like at my city. So he was so hard on me. And Ms. Mosley, she's my high school principal, and she always been by my side, like someone I could talk to, someone just to help me with things, you know. She was like my mom, so I had both of them too.
That's a lot, right? You know, yeah, for a young man who's kind of trying to figure it all out, to have two people in positions of like authority, you know. It's not like, oh, just this one little coach. Because I read this article, and for the principal to be invested in you that way, for you to feel like the principal was a second mom, I mean, that's got to be pretty significant. Do you stay in touch with them?
Yeah. Talk to them every day.
That's what's up.
Daily. Wow.
Have they been to Miami? Have you had to get them tickets for games yet? That's a big question right there. That's what usually happens.
Since the COVID situation, neither one of them, they not want to be dying. but definitely this year. This year, they would definitely be dying.
So let's talk about playing football at Meridian High. Number one, I have to imagine that, was there ever a time where you were not the biggest dude on a football field, even going back to third grade?
No, I was all pretty bigger.
So with that in mind, I was told that you were not highly recruited initially, which is just unfathomable to me. Because I don't know if people get this. I mean, you know, if you're sitting at home, everybody kind of looks big. And you play professional football. I've worked around professional athletes my whole career. There's big dudes, and then there's just fucking big dudes.
Right.
And you're in that second category. So how are you not highly recruited? I don't get it.
No, I guess I wasn't good enough, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I had one offer, though. I mean, that's all that matters.
Yeah, but you got one offer, and it's the number one program in the country. So something's not adding up, Raekwon. Like, something doesn't make sense to me. How could you not be good enough to be highly recruited, but you end up at the premier program in the country? Now, Carl's, she's saying, no, that's Clemson. But, I mean, look, it is what it is. How do you end up at Alabama and you're not highly recruited? I don't get it. There's got to be more to the story.
You know, I'm tunnel vision. I just ignored all that. You know what I'm saying? I looked at the bigger picture. I mean, Alabama was my first offer, you know. Like, that's a pretty big school, like you say. And I just kept working. I mean, I wasn't looking at no other school, to be honest with you, once I got that offer. And that was it for me.
But was it a case, and that makes all the sense in the world, right? You know, just loyalty in general, especially when it's from a program like that and a legendary head coach like Coach Saban. But was it a scenario where something clicked, like maybe freshman year, sophomore year, it wasn't clicking, and then things just changed and they came down and found you? Or did I read something about maybe they were there to recruit another player and they were like, yo, who's that dude?
Yeah, they was there. They actually was there recruiting CJ Hampton, and Coach Saban was like, who the big kid is on the sideline? And that was me.
Yeah, on the sideline. So not on the field, but the big kid on the sideline.
Yeah, like he wasn't even there for me. He was there for somebody else. So,
bananas. Well, it's a good thing he was right. All that mattered was he was there.
Yeah, he was there.
Yeah. So, all right. So we have a segment on the Fish Tank now. It's a new segment this year, and it's called Explain Yourself. And in doing the research, it looked like, so like you said, you had tunnel vision with Alabama, but in this day and age of recruiting and tweets and all this other stuff, that there was some rumor or tweet that you were going to decommit from Alabama and go to Georgia, but then you said your Twitter got hacked. Like, can you explain that situation?
You to my Mississippi State.
Oh, no. Okay.
man, listen. That's so old. I don't even know how people still remember that.
But, I don't remember shit, but I do some research now.
Yeah, you do some hell of a research. And I don't even know how you talk that. But I don't know, man. My page really got hacked though.
So, I believe you.
It happened when I was literally up there.
So I was at Mississippi State, and somebody said, okay, we're going about to commit to Mississippi State. My page got hacked, and I forgot. I think they wrote it on my, like, a tweet or something. I mean, I don't remember. And my phone was blowing up. So, like, coaches that I was really leaving Alabama to go to Mississippi State and all types of stuff. I can't believe you found that, though.
You find anything now, man. Watch what you do. I don't know where you're headed right now. Watch what you do. Anything could be found. But, yeah, we did a little research, man.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So tell me, though, Raekwon, was it tough leaving the state? I know I went from – I grew up in Ohio. I was supposed to go to Ohio State. I ended up going to Penn State, you know, state over. Was it tough leaving the state of Mississippi? You know, but I know – I mean, obviously the programs are night and day. I mean, that's the real talk right there. But, you know, was there a lot of pressure staying in the state?
Nah, I mean, I knew I was going to leave the state. I think my parents, my grandparents, my mom, they didn't want me to be in the state, so I knew I was going to leave there.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your move to Alabama. You know, Nick Saban, you know, he's not exactly a favorite in Miami. I mean, I'm just saying that. It's just not that. I mean, he came here for a little while and then he left, went to Alabama, you know, but every player that's played for him has always raved about what a great football mind that he is, man. Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit, you know, how much you like Nick, and, you know, can you explain to us a little bit about what you did, what he did for you that made you a better football player, especially on the defensive side?
I mean, the thing is about people, I just don't understand, like, how people can have something to say so bad about him. Like, I mean, it's not even one thing you can say bad about him. I mean, he's a great coach. He's done it like a father figure, you know what I'm saying? But it's just like, so it don't even be all about football with him. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I had a great career there and this and that. But, you know, he just teach you life lessons, you know what I'm saying? Like the real world. He teach you stuff like you're going to see after football. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, it was great. Being coach under him and, you know, winning a championship. I mean, it was great, bro. I had fun. That was some of my best memories at that school.
And now it seems like most of these schools or these professional teams are starting to draft Alabama. How's it feel having a lot of Bama players on, you know, on this Dolphin roster with you?
You know, it was just – it's crazy because, we started off with two last year. It was just me and Tua, right? Now you got Robert Foster, you got Waddle. It's been crazy in my
everywhere.
Locker room.
It's nuts. Hey,
my whole locker room getting crazy in that night. Hey, it's beauty in the Bama boys, man. Hey, it's a beauty in the Bama boys. That's all I can say.
I think this is helping the South Florida fan base get over their Saban breaking up with him. Because they're like, all right, well, we lost him, but now he's coaching up all these players that we're cheering for now. So I think that has helped the transition. So that, I don't even know if you know the background, right? You know, the fact that he left here and went to go coach the big kid on the sideline, that's why everybody's got their feelings hurt. It's like somebody's walking down the street with your ex-girl, and you're like, but, you know, that's the issue people have. Is it petty? Yeah, it is petty. Yeah, yeah. But that's where it comes from.
We need Troy on this call right here. He loves talking. Troy loved talking about my coach when he was there.
Troy who? Troy Maurer?
Troy Maurer.
Yeah.
Of course it had to be Troy Maurer. Of course it had to be. Oh, we got to get Troy on. That's the issue. That's what it is. But again, I think when you start to look at this roster, and you're like, hey, Coach Saban molded these young men into the players we cheer for now.
Yeah.
All right, I guess we can give them a hall pass.
Absolutely. We see the type of success they have at the next level, not just in college, but the success at the next level that it translates. What you did at Alabama translates to the NFL, and that's important. You know what I mean?
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely.
I'm
saying, yeah, it did. You know, just not even like I was saying, not even just football, just life lessons, you know, just understanding life and trying to figure out life after football. But it most definitely did, though.
That's kind of more important, to be honest with you.
Without a doubt.
So I appreciate that.
No doubt.
And I'm telling you, Raekwon, I'm just going to be straight up with you, and probably because you're not sitting across from me because I've got the Zoom here spaced. So I've tried to find – and let me back up a little bit. So I work with Jason Taylor. I run his nonprofit organization. There's no bigger Nick Saban supporter in South Florida than JT. That's like his – I'm sure Coach Saban had a bunch of second sons, third sons at Bama. JT was his, you know, Nick Saban was JT's daddy when he was here.
That's
like, that's the way it worked. And he loves it. But I had these issues. I tried to find players to say a bad word about Coach Saban here, and nobody will do it other than Zach Thomas. Zach got in his feelings a little bit.
Yeah.
Everybody else is saying what you're saying. So I've gotten over it. I've moved on. I think I'm a better man for it.
What, Zach? I didn't see Zach.
You don't know the story about Zach? Do you know Zach? You, so... We'll fill you in off air, but basically Coach Saban spoke to Zach in a way that Zach felt was unbecoming.
Disrespectful.
He was disrespectful. And Zach dropped a I'm a grown ass man on him, and Nick had a few words, and they had to be separated. And that was kind of one of Nick's welcome to the NFL moments. But, you know, Zach was a 10-year grumpy veteran. But next time you see Zach, say, hey, man, I heard you and my coach had words.
Now, that wouldn't happen to back in Alabama.
Back in my school. Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, that wouldn't happen at all. Having even a word back, you better just be quiet.
Yeah, he dropped the grown-ass man on him. He did. So that's apparently it was epic. He's just trying to process it.
I was like,
I can't believe somebody said that. So definitely talk to Zach about that. All right, I'm going to keep it moving. We're going to get off of the Saban stuff.
Yeah.
But the transition of Bama to Miami, as I just mentioned, I work with JT. And so this was something I thought about. So we draft Tua with our first pick last year. And Tua, of course, rocked number 13 at Bama. And that just wasn't going to happen in Miami. He wasn't going to wear 13 here at Dan Marino. So then, next thing you know, next round, we draft another kid from Bama, and he's wearing 99. I'm like, well, that ain't going to happen. So at what point did somebody break it to you? Was it like Joey Cimino? Like, at what point did somebody say, hey, man, we're excited to have you here, but we got to talk about your number?
Yeah, but, when I said I was getting drafted, I knew that was like, it was over. I thought about Jason Taylor. I was like, yeah, I ain't getting that jersey. I'm going to just hang that up right now.
Right.
Getting that, so I can't even get mad about it. But I started calling, asking, I borrowed for a couple games at least.
Man. Come on. You didn't return your call?
Cause I don't feel right now. 9-8. It's just so different. You've been rocking 9-9 for 4 years. You get in the NFL. You rocking 9-8. Just right. Give me another point.
Just a plus one. It's all he needs is a plus one. Have you and JT talked about it?
Man.
Did he respond? Did you reach out? Did you really reach out?
I really didn't.
He's really particular, but he loves him some Alabama.
Yeah.
So, you know, if he was going to do it for anybody, it would be somebody from Bama. But it probably ain't happening.
No, it ain't happening.
Well, how do we get you adjusted to 98?
Say it again?
How do we get you adjusted to 98?
I'm adjusted to it. That's my number. That's my number. I'm already adjusted to it, so.
That's what's up.
I just knew that 99 wasn't. Throw that out the window.
Hey, true story. Ask Joey about this. So when these are all SEC guys, it's great that we're talking about this. So when after Juice retired, we drafted a tight end from Georgia named Randy McMichael. Do you know Randy?
No.
Okay. So he went to Georgia, and then he came here, and Randy's a hell of a player, and they were going to give him 81. But they called Juice first because they didn't want Juice.
I got a courtesy call first, yeah. But see, they didn't have to call anybody else, though, because they were already in the Hall of Fame, these other numbers. Damn shame.
Courtesy call.
It took a little while, though, man. It's probably about 8-9 years afterwards, so it wasn't too bad. They retired it without it being retired, you know what I mean, Raekwon? That's all good. So, Raekwon, at the top of the show, man, you know, Seth had mentioned that some guys have big personalities off the field, but we don't see it very much publicly. On the field, but not much public, you know. So, what I've heard, and people describe you as being shy. We did the pre-draft show, and you kind of opened up a little bit when we started talking about, you know, people and what they were wearing, their gear and stuff, you know what I mean? Stuff like that, you kind of lit up. You enjoyed that a little bit, man. So do we have it wrong? Are you a shy guy? Are you a shy guy? Or are you just, at times, you know, that personality comes out and you light up a little bit?
I just sit and observe first. And then, like, you got to be in that building. Like, people in that building, they know the real me. Like, they know the real me. But, you know, so if I don't really just know you, I just be quiet. I don't be quiet. You know what I'm saying? I ain't shy. I ain't shy at all. Don't get it wrong. Don't get it twisted. But, you know, I'm a down-to-earth guy. You know what I'm saying? In my own little mood here and there.
Yeah, and I thought you were shy for a minute too, and then I saw you doing that Get Well song for Tua on the ukulele or whatever. That right there, that told me right there, that personality in the locker room, that was up right there.
Man, yeah, I really do some research, huh?
See, we're just gonna show up. We got a game plan, man.
Man, that's wild. That's awesome. That song.
You killed it, though. We played that at the draft, too. You killed it, man. That's good stuff, man. I love that. You know, and I love because, you know, a lot of guys, especially in that D-line, man, have most of the personality. And you guys keep it lighthearted when it's a lot of tough days in there, man. And that's fun stuff, man. So I see you now. We got to get inside the building, Seth, to see the real Raekwon, because I think on the outside, he wants to be like down low kind of in terms of his personality and stuff, man. But I bet that building though, boy, you can't get him. I bet you can't get him to be quiet in the building.
I'm telling you, it's like Timbo.
Nah.
I don't know, man. I don't know if I believe in you, Raekwon.
He got it speechless.
You can get in the building. I can't get in the building.
We'll see.
It's a new building. Tell them
to let y'all in on me.
Or bet.
They my name at the door. They'll let y'all come in. Man.
I like it. All right.
Write that down, Seth.
Say his name. say his name at the door. I love it. All right. I put it in. Hey, there's this dude out here. Just know it's me. Just know when they come and tell you that. So, all right. So earlier we talked about you just your whole life being the biggest dude on the field. Probably the biggest dude in damn near every room you walk in. I want to talk about what I think is like big man etiquette, or there's these unwritten rules of what the expectations are of a big man. Not on the field, I guess somewhat. The field to some degree. And the rules are probably made by some little dude like me, right? But do you play basketball at all? Are you a hooper at all?
Not really. No, so I can dunk.
You can dunk. Okay. So here's the thing. Like, here's an example of what I'm talking about. The big man gets on the court, and every little dude's supposed to be able to hack the shit out of him the whole game, and he's not supposed to call anything. And the one time you call, everybody loses their mind. But if you blow on somebody, they get to call foul. Have you experienced that?
Yeah. I'm too rough. Yeah. I mean, I'd be out there. We're supposed to be playing basketball, but I'm playing football the whole time.
Right. So, and by the way, I believe I'll hang on to big man. Hey, call your foul, big man. Call your foul.
You know, I've dealt with big guys before, Big Seth.
Yeah. So that's a fair point.
Yeah.
So here's another question for you. This is a hypothetical scenario. You're playing, and there's another guy on your team, and he's a little guy, 5'9", 190 pounds, whatever it is. He's
I think
a little
I'm closer
guy.
To 5'10", Big Seth.
5'10", 110, you know, whatever. It's a hypothetical. So the little guy's on the sidelines barking, saying you're not playing hard enough, or let's say you took yourself out for whatever particular reason on a 2-minute drill or something.
Man.
At what point does a big guy just have to suck it up when a little guy is mouthing off? Or at what point can you put hands on a dude? Because, like, two big guys put hands on each other, that's what it is. The strength coach comes in and tries to break it up or whatever.
I'm more like a put my hands on you type guy.
You are a put your hands on type guy.
Yeah, I'll put my hands on you.
Even a little guy. If he steps up to the plate, small guy.
Hell, man, you got a big mouth to talk. So,
okay. Well, that's fair. So I got the shit slapped out of me one time, Rick. Time, man, talking to a big dude. And never again. I learned my lesson, dog. Now I talk shit and I hide behind somebody bigger. You know what I mean?
That's my move. It was, and the guy was probably about your size.
Yeah, it was a big man. It's all good.
It was a big man.
Still around.
And I don't think Juice was wrong, but, you know, that was the reply.
Yeah.
The reply.
All right, Seth, let's get this thing back.
You
want to
move? Okay, all right,
let's
we'll
get
move
this thing
on.
Back on track.
I just wanted to know. I wanted to hear it from a big man.
That's right, that's right.
What you mean you want to hear from a big man? I mean,
we heard it. We heard.
Listen, I told you, I'm putting my hands on you type guy. You know what I'm saying?
Good to know.
Like that. Well, I'm gonna make sure all the little dudes in the locker room don't say shit to you. All right, give a heads up.
Oh, trust me, everybody in the locker room knows.
They know.
They already know. Yeah.
They know.
Yeah.
He is like Timbo. They know. They don't mess with.
It's already kind of written. That's yeah. Right. Yeah. I have spoken. That's what that dude on the man.
Well, let's get the thing back on track.
Okay. Sense, all right. You got it.
Let's look back. Let's get back on the field, especially you know the way you really stepped up your game second half of last year, man. More opportunities and make out there making plays. But I read recently that you didn't feel it was a great year for you for some reason. I mean, I don't know. Would you spend your time this offseason trying to perfect, get better at, to make it a better season than what we thought you had a hell of a second half of last season?
I mean, last year I feel like I ain't reaching out of my goals for real. I mean, I ain't do nothing, you know, that I told myself I was going to do, to be honest with you. And I mean, this year I've been definitely, you know, working on the stuff, the same stuff, you know, and more stuff that I know from like last year, like things I needed help on. And like going into this year, I'm gonna have to do. So I just been, you know what I'm saying, just trying to get better at doing that. But you know, just like the little stuff, you know. I mean, I want to be like one of them guys to be on third down. I want to be one of them guys that, you know, that my team can depend on, you know, that can help stop that play, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, just trying to be a reliable guy, that's it.
Yeah, and how about, talk about that transition, man, when it went from kind of being, I don't know how much you got treated as a work environment in Alabama. It seemed like it was a workman type environment, but when you come to the NFL, it's work. Like, you're there all day. You imagine being in the building all day, every day, you know what I mean? Instead of, like, you know, those few hours after school.
Yeah, it'll be long, man. Like, I mean, last year was definitely long. I know this year going to be definitely long because, you know, I mean, it just, I'm used to it. You know, we'll do the same thing about them. You know, have meetings all day. I mean, you got to just suck it up. Get used to it.
Meetings all day, huh? No class? No, I'm just playing.
Hey.
Nah, we had class, man. I'm talking about like fall camp, you know. We're going to have the class in the morning time, you know. At that morning over with, you know, you're going to be in that building all day.
No doubt.
And you know what? And I have another question, but I had a follow-up. You talked about the goals and, you know, you didn't reach the goals that you would set for yourself, and you've set even more goals this year. We need to figure that out. Someone trying to jump in on the ride? What's going on? Okay, we're good?
Jumping his ride.
Yeah. Somebody's like, oh, this is the wrong one. They shut the door back. Okay, cool. So, and I'm not asking you what your goals are because that's for you, but in terms of goal setting, is that something you've done your whole life, or was that something that started at Alabama where you set these personal goals for yourself? You know, obviously the team is going to set goals, your coaches are going to set goals and expectations for you, but as far as your own self-setting of goals, is that something you've always done?
Yeah, that's something I definitely always did, you know, just set goals for myself, you know what I'm saying, and, you know, just try to prepare myself for the season.
Very cool. So the last thing I want to ask you, man, is – when you, and granted, you're only in your second year, so you've got a whole career to live here as a professional. But when you kind of look at where you're at in your second year of the NFL now, being drafted as highly as you were, going to a school like Alabama, national championship ring on the trophy case, all of those things, and you think about where you came from, third grade, not wanting any part of football because you weren't good enough or not being recruited highly enough, coming from a small town in Mississippi, do you ever sit back and look and say, shit, this is like, you know, do you ever sit back and think about what football has given to you, or what you've given to football, and what the results have been, and where it's taken you in the world?
Yeah, I mean, I think about it all the time. I mean, I be trying to just tell the kids back where I'm from, just listen to my story, like, because it's crazy, you know what I'm saying? Just, I was that kid, you know what I'm saying, coming from, like, the hood, coming from the projects, and, you know, just come from poverty, and all of a sudden, I'm in this other world. Like, I'm in college. Boom, I graduated college. I'm in the NFL. Boom, I just got drafted. It's just so crazy. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I don't even believe it. You know what I'm saying? I'd be in the game, be like, bro, I'm really in the NFL. Like, I'm really here. But it's like, it's a blessing, man. It's a blessing how far I came and how far God, you know what I'm saying, blessed me to come.
Yeah, man. And I tell you what, man, that's always a great story, man. All the kids that you might encounter that, you know, felt like you did, you know, 3 through 8th grade, didn't think they had an opportunity, but man, does this give you a great opportunity, man. And boy, do you have a great story to tell to hopefully influence a lot of other youngins from coming from your neck of the woods, you know, and being able to, you know, to go to Alabama or go to a big school and then get an opportunity in the NFL, which is kind of like a childhood dream for all of us at one point. Even though we don't know if we can realize it at first, it's still a childhood dream to play in the league.
Yeah, man. It really is. It most definitely is.
And is that something you do? You talked about when you talk to kids. Do you go back home and do work in the community there?
Yeah, I most definitely do. I go by, like, each one of, like, the elementary schools. I go to the high schools, you know what I'm saying? Just go by and see him, go by and talk to him, you know, and just let him see my face, and I just talk to him.
That's great.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. That's
yeah,
what's
up, absolutely. Oh, and like you just said, what an amazing story to tell. So I love that you do that. I'm excited to see you play this year. But that to me is more special. You know, both OJ and I do a lot of work, community work, and it's exciting to see that the guys we're cheering for are also great men off the field. So this was a lot of fun. I know it was a long ass day for you. I know your flight got delayed. I know Juice and I had to try and sneak our way into the building, but I'm glad this worked out, man. And it's great to get to know you a little bit. I will be dropping your name at the new facility try and get on the slide or something. And I wish you nothing but success.
Hey, just tell him I'm here because Raekwon Davis said I can come. I can let you in.
I'm saying it. It's on camera. You guys got it. It's on camera. Now,
can we use that multiple times, Raekwon, or just one time use for that? We're going to use it one time?
Nah. Just one time. One time.
Okay, it's a one time use. All right, so we have to be strategic with it. All right. Okay, good to know. Yeah, you don't want to abuse that.
That's right. Well, thanks for diving in, man. We appreciate you.
I appreciate it, man.
You're now diving into the fish tank.
Sitting down with Seth Living, Seth. OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, Dog fans, number one. Of course, y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank. Go get your aqua orange, yeah, it's time to dive up in that fish tank. It's only legendary talking when you dive up in that fish tank. Rocking with OJ and Seth when we dive up in that fish tank. Fans with attitude, we okay, got the devil for them diehards. Celebrate big or cry hard. Leave it all on the field, we gon' try hard. Old school, a new school, mix it in. Feeling like we up close when we listening. Dolphins tails, in Miami is the deep end. We vibing with our favorite players, no secret. We get with Seth and McDuffie, bringing up stories we never heard to the public. Bet we love it, Dolphins fans never budget. We loyal to the team, whether happy or we upset. We be like, what's next? Don't switch the subject. You know it's all about them fans. And if you ready for that water, time to dive in. Don't switch the subject. You know it's all about them fans. And if you down with Dolphins Nation, time to dive in. Don't switch the subject. You know it's all about them fans. You looking at that fish tank, it's time to dive in. Go get your aqua orange. Yeah, it's time to dive up in that fish tank. It's only legendary talking when you dive up in that fish tank. Rapping with OJ and Seth when you dive up in that fish tank. Dog fans with attitude, we about to dive up in that fish tank.